If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the 117th Psalm, 117. Psalm 117. I asked the person that was recording for us tonight to start at this particular point, even though I will not get to the actual reading of Scripture for just a few minutes. I want to say some things about this passage and some things that I believe are very, very important for you to know and understand and appreciate. What is the most important thing that you do as a Christian? What is the most important thing that we should do as a Christian? What is the one thing that we want others to do with us more than anything else? Now, we could name some things, all of us. But I believe that Psalm 117 answers that question, that what we want the most, what we need the most, what we must go after the most is praising the living and true God in our worship. The English Standard Version of the Bible translates this verse before us. Look at it with me, Psalm 117. It says, "Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." Now keep looking. I'm going to read two other translations of this. I'm going to read the King James Version, and you can kind of follow it, but you'll see some differences. King James, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." And then the NIV, the New International Version, writes the psalm this way, as you look at yours. "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." There's one thing that the psalmist is trying to press upon everybody's heart and everybody's conscience that is here tonight, that we have been created as new people for the very purpose of praising God. He's saying, "Hallelujah." He repeats it over and again. If you look at this in the original language, the original Hebrew, you will see the word "Hallelujah," Yahweh, he, all over this passage. And if you look at the other words, there are only about six. So this is a short psalm about our ultimate priority. And that priority is to worship God with joy. There's nothing better that a Christian can do than to worship our holy God. And notice how he begins the psalm, "Praise the Lord," and how he ends the psalm, "Praise the Lord." Now, as we come to this tonight, I want to make a few comments. And we'll have short and brief points. You probably will not be here tonight as long as normal. But that's okay. This is the shortest chapter in all the Bible. It's the shortest psalm in the whole Old Testament book of Psalms. It's right squarely in the middle of the Bible. Its teaching is, its reading is short, but its teaching is vast and huge. The psalm is kind of like John 11:35. Oh, Most of you probably could raise your hand. How many of you know what the shortest verse in the English Bible is? Yes, most of y'all know that. It's Jesus wept. There are two words, but these two words are packed with meaning. I read about one preacher who recently preached four sermons on this one verse, Jesus wept. Another pastor that most of you know about is from the past, the great reformer Martin Luther. Martin Luther devoted 36 pages to Psalm 117, and he expounded it in these categories that I'm about to mention. He said in this psalm there is prophecy. The Gentiles will receive gospel blessings. Then he says in this psalm there is revelation, because it hints that the kingdom of Christ is not earthly or temporal, but heavenly and eternal, that extends forever. And then he said in the psalm there is also instruction. It reminds us that we are saved by faith and not by our works or our wisdom or our holiness. It is his love for us, his faithfulness to us, that will bring us all the way home. And fourthly, he says in the psalm, there's adoration, that we should praise God all the time for his great salvation. Now, that's good. That's helpful. It's encouraging, but it's very challenging. So let's break it down a little bit. My points will come in just a minute, but let me just say this. It's a psalm that begins by calling all the nations and all the peoples of the earth to worship God. That's what it's doing. Christ's last commandment requires us to reach out to all the world. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Why? Why are we preaching the gospel to people? Yes, first that they might believe in Christ, trust him alone for salvation. But that's not the only reason. We want them to worship him. We want them to honor him in all they do. Many of you have heard of some of the sermons and writings of John Piper. He's a very prominent, important voice in the Christian church today. I mean, I don't agree with everything he writes and everything he says, but I do think he's a wonderful person. And he wrote these words, and you've got to listen very carefully to it. He says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate and not man. Now, he's not making low on missions. He believes it's tremendously important in our mission conferences, in our church budgets. Our evangelistic efforts and what we reach out and send people out to do is ultimately that people might gather together and worship God, because that's what they're going to be doing throughout eternity. And so as we work our way through this, and it will be hopefully to the point. First of all, there's simply this call to praise. He says, praise the Lord, praise Yahweh, all you nations. And the striking thing here is this is an invitation. It's not an imperative. He's inviting. It's a call. It's a sermon, a summons for every living being to boast in our glorious God. The psalmist is calling people to turn from their idols, to turn from their false things in their life, and to extol the one living and true God, whose name is Yahweh, I am that I am. He wants them to turn away from their false religions, their false gods, and worship the only true God. Praise the Lord, he tells them. Because he alone is worthy of praise. He alone. In Romans 15, and I'm going to read this passage, and you can either listen closely or you can turn with me to Romans chapter 15. But I think most of you can just listen to this about what the Apostle Paul has to say. He says this. Now listen carefully. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, and he quotes from our chapter, he says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And then he quotes from Isaiah, the root of Jesse will come, even who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will Gentiles hope. And so as this word is used, it's saying that there's a strategic thing in the very mind of God and why he brings salvation to the nations and to the pagans. It is that they worship and honor him who alone is worthy of praise. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the one living and true God. So there's this call to praise. Secondly, he gives the causes or some reasons why. Now look at verse 17, I think it is. But it's so short, you can pick it out yourself. 17a and chapter 2, verse 2, A and B. Why should he be praised? Well, the psalmist says, here gives us some reasons why we should exalt him in our worship. Now, you can count these as we go through them, think about them, and ask yourself, is this me? The first reason he says, for great is his love toward us. And the word great here means something huge, large, superior, remarkable, demanding great respect. Our God is so superior in the way he loves sinners. This magnificent love toward us, who are his chosen people, is amazing. He loves his people in a unique way. That's why there's the us here, his love toward us. This is God's chosen people. Now, in theology, we distinguish between what we call common grace and redemptive grace. There's a lot of division among theologians about that. But basically, what is being said is that all human beings receive some form of common grace from God. And they quote, and I would quote too, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He makes an important statement about this. He's talking about loving our enemies, and Jesus says this, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. There is a common manifestation of grace that goes to all human beings. But God has chosen a people. And there is a particular grace that he gives to them. He chooses to love them in a special way like nobody else in the whole world. And in turn, they're supposed to love him back and to be appreciative of all that he has done for them. But he gives another reason. He says his love endures forever. His love endures forever. God's love and God's faithfulness are two characteristics of God, attributes of God, that should stimulate and provoke the Christian heart to praise God. He's so loving. He's so loving, he would come to you when you were dead in trespasses and sins and give you life. He is so loving after all the things that I've done in my life and thought in my life and acted out in my life. He is so faithful to forgive and then to love. His faithfulness, his goodness are like two dogs that follow us all the days of the life, our life, until we enter into the eternal kingdom of God. In Romans chapter 8, which is one of the great, great chapters in all the New Testament, I want to read a portion beginning in verse 31. He says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, and more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we're being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." His love and his faithfulness for his people goes on and on and will go on throughout all eternity, because he's a God of steadfast love. The final thing that we have in our passage is what I call a crescendo of praise. It's the last just part of verse 2. For the young people that are here, but most of you are older people, but not all of us may understand music. A crescendo is when your voice gets to its highest point. It may start down here and it rises up, and as you sing, it ends up, yes, hallelujah. It's yelling out loud. It's like a volcano erupting and flowing out of a mountain. It's shouting so loud that it causes some people to put their fingers in their ears. Praise the Lord, he says. He's saying it's loud, it's personal, it's passionate. John Piper, in his book, wrote some very important words on this. And it's with these words that I'm going to conclude tonight. He's writing about worship. And I normally don't read much from the pulpit, but I wanted to read this to this faithful Sunday night group of Christians. John Piper has noted, worship is the fuel and the goal in missions. It is the goal of missions because in missions we simply aim to bring the nations into the white hot enjoyment of God's glory. This is the thrust of this psalm, a passionate plea that all the nations worship God. And the driving force behind missions is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the only way of salvation. If lost sinners are to be brought into the vast multitude of adoring worshipers of God, the gospel must be preached to the ends of the world. God's people must gather to Him, and we're all in the choir together. All in the choir together. My brothers and sisters, this has been brief, somewhat to the point, but there's no more important thing, really. I mean, there are a lot of important things. We've all got them written down, and we do certain things, but the most wonderful thing that we can do as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ is to praise Him and to love to gather together in this place and praise Him. Yes, you can do it at home. Yes, you can do it with your children. But you can also do it with God's people and raise your voices to honor the King of creation, the God who you will praise for all and all and all and all eternity. May God make us a body of people who love to praise the name of our God together. Would you pray with me? Our God in heaven, we pray that you would hear our cry tonight, that you would make us more and more of a people who love to praise the Lord. To praise Him in our personal time of devotion. To praise You, O Lord, with our family. To praise You with our friends. And to praise You with our church community. And when we die, to understand that praise goes on forever. Because there is a God who is worthy of that praise forever. A Father who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish and have everlasting life. And the Holy Spirit, who is the prompter of praise within our hearts, may He move and keep working in us to make us people who praise God. We bless You this night. We pray that You would honor our time together. that we would leave this place deeply encouraged. Because some days we're going to get sick. And some days we're not going to feel like it. And some days we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death itself. But always written on our hearts and in our mind and in our way of thinking and acting is that my chief end is to glorify you forever and to praise your name. O Lord our God, hear our prayer and continue to watch us this night. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.